I'd like for you to take your Bible, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 50 with me. And we come to the last lesson in this series entitled The Treasures of Darkness. It's lesson 13. And in this lesson, we look at a character in the Bible that perhaps among all characters of the Scripture best summarizes what it means to find the treasures that God has for us in times of darkness. And it's the man Joseph. I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. As we look at this lesson tonight, we're going to aim, or as we teach it on this coming Sunday, we're going to aim to teach certain things as we go through this particular lesson. We want our students to understand that while others may forsake us, that would be a time of darkness, certainly in life, but while others may forsake us, that God will never forsake us in this life. He's always with us. We want our students to see that God does not remove all of our problems and our difficulties, but He goes with us through those problems and through those difficulties. We want them to know that God desires to bless us, but He must always prepare us to receive His blessing. That's so true. And we want them to learn to commune with the Lord Jesus Christ and have faith in Him no matter what is going on in the troubled world around them. You know, these are things that we're going to find as we look at the life of Joseph this week. I want you to look at me in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, if you would, please. We'll jump right to the heart of the matter here. The Bible says, as Joseph looked at his brothers, whom he had known, of course, growing up, and then had become reacquainted with them at 30 years of age down in Egypt, as he was the leader, or the prime minister, if you please, of the land of Egypt, and those brothers came looking for bread and looking for corn and for food for their families. Joseph had known them for a long time, and many things had gone on in his life. As Joseph looked back across life, he was speaking to these brothers, and he said this. Look at Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And I'd like for you to highlight in your Bible the expression, God meant it unto good. Now that's the expression that's given looking back across life. And the truth is, I don't think there's any more fitting expression to consider from God's Word in the last lesson, thinking about the treasures of darkness. I don't think there's a more fitting expression in all of God's Word than this expression. Looking back across everything that God has seen fit to allow in my life, I say this with faith, God meant it unto good. That's powerful, isn't it? Only somebody who knows the true and living God can speak that way. And this is what we've been dealing with all along now for 13 weeks. We've been talking about how we deal with these times of darkness as believers. We deal with these times in a completely different way than those who do not have the Lord. As we go through these valleys, God is with us. And it's more than just Him being with us. He actually takes those times, and they become times in our lives that God uses, that God works together for good. He even takes the evil things that come in our life, and He's so big, He can even take those things and work them together for good. He's a big God, isn't He? And Joseph said, here's the bottom line. I look across everything, every valley, every time that I was mistreated. I look back across it all, and I just say this, God meant it unto good. And that's how we ought to wrap up thinking about all these times of darkness that we have in life. I want you to scan with me through the life of Joseph very quickly this evening. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37, and let's just notice a few of the highlights of his life and notice what led Joseph to looking back and saying this with great faith in God. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3, if you find your place there, we're introduced to Joseph here in the Scriptures. And the Bible says here in Genesis 37:3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Remember, Jacob's name had been changed to Israel. So this is Jacob. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And very early on, we're introduced to Joseph as a favored son. He has special privilege, and he has this coat of many colors that the other sons did not receive. And he was the object of great affection by his father. And, of course, his brethren knew that. In fact, it says in verse 4 that when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And we come to this first scenario in Joseph's life as we just kind of look at it in summary. And we find Joseph here in this chapter being sold into slavery. He was sold into slavery. In fact, down in chapter 37 and verse 18, if you look here in the scriptures, the Bible says, as Joseph went to visit his brothers one time when he was 17 years old, sent just to check on them, sent to find out how things were going, as his father had desired for him to do. The Bible says in verse 18, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And we read in the rest of this chapter about how that conspiracy failed, but it turned to another conspiracy. Instead of slaying Joseph, they threw him in a pit. They talked about it for a while. And then Ishmaelite merchantmen came traveling by in their caravan. And they decided, we'll just sell him as a slave, and we'll get rid of him that way. We hate to think that his blood will be on our hands in the sense that we killed him, so let's just get rid of him. And for 20 pieces of silver, of course, Joseph throughout is giving us in a historical form a picture many times of the Lord Jesus, of course, who was betrayed for silver. But for 20 pieces of silver, he was sold by his own brethren to these Midianite merchantmen. He was taken down into Egypt, sold into slavery. Can you imagine? And Joseph was betrayed by friends and by family, more so, I would say, than anyone in this room has ever imagined being betrayed. Sold and wished for dead, his coat was taken, and they took the blood of a wild beast and presented it to Jacob or Israel. Of course, I'm sure he felt guilty that he'd even sent Joseph on that journey, thinking that a wild beast had taken him in the way. But they presented that coat to their father, and they made as if he had been slain by the beast, and they thought maybe everything would just stop there. And God does stop there with the story, pretty much, and he leads us still with the life of Joseph. Look at chapter 39, if you would, please. We find that those merchantmen took him down to Egypt. It says in chapter 39, the first three verses there, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So now we find Joseph in Egypt. He's in a time of darkness, no doubt about it. He's in a foreign land. He's in a heathen land. He's in a place where no one around him even knows his God. He's in a place where no one around him loves him. No one around him cares about him, but the Bible says here on two different occasions, immediately when we find him entering into Egypt, the Bible says the Lord was with him. Amen. And then he also adds this to it. Both times he said, and he made everything that he did to prosper in his hand. The Bible says he was a prosperous man. I want you to know something. In the times of darkness, if we will honor God and keep our faith in God and keep our eyes on the Lord, listen, if we will honor God, God will honor us. He is with us. And there's no matter what you've gone through, no matter what people have done to you, if you walk with God and honor God, he will honor you. He will give you his blessing, even in the time of darkness. That's a treasure in the time of darkness. Joseph had great faith in God, and so he displayed great character. Potiphar's wife, of course, seduced Joseph. Read about that in the scriptures. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 39 here, very quickly we come to that story. And Joseph was over all of Potiphar's house. But Potiphar's wife seduced him, and he said in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He determined to keep walking with God, to be faithful to God, even in a place of darkness, even in a time where no one would know. He determined, I will be faithful to God. And of course, we find Joseph in another scene of his life. We find him now cast into prison. Potiphar found out about it. Potiphar's wife lied. And he was cast into prison. And we find right at the end of this passage, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21, the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And so as we keep following Joseph through life, as he's sold into slavery and down in Egypt and then finally down in the prison house, every time we find this scene unfolding and the curtain pulling back in Joseph's life, the Bible just keeps reiterating, God is with him. God is with him. God is with him. And you know, when bad matters just keep getting worse in life, when bad matters just keep getting worse, we just have to keep reminding ourselves of the promise of the Word of God. He will never leave us or forsake us. Amen. He will never leave us. God did not deliver him from the prison, but God said, I'll be with you in the prison. God did not deliver him from the accusations, but God said, I will be with you in the midst of all the accusations. And this is how our God works. And we've been learning this as we looked at the scriptures over these past weeks. You know, sometimes when we're in the darkness, we want God to work so quickly, don't we? We say, Lord, just give me some light. Just give me a little bit of light. But God's not trying to work quickly. That's evident in the life of Joseph. He's always trying to work thoroughly with you. He's trying to work thoroughly with me. Amen. Joseph was 17 when all this nonsense started. 17. When he became 30 years of age, finally God said, I'm going to give a deliverance here in a physical way. I'm going to give deliverance. And when he was 30 years of age, we read in Genesis chapter 41 about Pharaoh having a dream. And God starts working not in the prison. He starts working up in the palace so that he can get Joseph out of the prison. He gives Pharaoh a dream. And there's a butler there who remembers, there's a guy down there who interpreted my dreams. He's a Jew. He's a Hebrew. And they pulled him up, and God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream. And in just a heartbeat, in just a moment's time, God changed everything in his life. You know what? God was not trying to work quickly. He was trying to work thoroughly. But when God decided to come on the scene and break through, friends, God is always able to break through, isn't he? Amen. And we have to know that in every moment that we're in the darkness, we have to know moment by moment, God can change this in just a heartbeat. If it's his will and if it's his time, he is able. Joseph was sold into slavery. Once we see also, as we just sweep across looking at his life, that Joseph was sinned against by his brethren. It won't take time to read, but in Genesis chapter 42 and 43 and 44, I hope you'll take time this Sunday to highlight some of the verses there. It records the story of these brothers being reunited with Joseph. Obviously, the first time they met him, if you know your scriptures, they were not reunited in that sense. Because the first time they met him, Joseph said, "You're spies." I'm sure it rung a note in their minds because that's what they accused Joseph of. When he came to see them out there tending the flock, they said, "You're just here to spy on us, sent by our father." But he said, "You're spies." It wasn't time for Joseph to reveal himself just then. And Joseph began to work with these brothers and, of course, provided their needs and sent them back. And they came back and forth several times. Finally, he got them to bring Benjamin. Of course, Israel or Jacob didn't want to do that. But Judah persuaded him to send Benjamin. And Judah said, "I'll vouch my life for him." And finally, he sends Benjamin, and Joseph provides for their needs again, and then the silver cup that Joseph used was found in Benjamin's sack. The brothers come back again to Joseph's presence, and Genesis, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 45, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 45, and I want you to notice with me verse 14 and 15. The brothers come back. Judah is a different man now. Judah literally lays his life on the line. He's emptied of self, and Joseph realizes, it's time for me to reveal myself to these brothers. You see, God had to do a work where they were ready to receive those blessings. That's what he does in our lives. But the Bible says in Genesis 45, verse 14 and 15, "And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck." Look at verse 15. "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him." When you think of Joseph and you think about the treasures of darkness, I want you to always think of Joseph as a man of forgiveness. You know what? Some people sadly want to live in the dark all their life. Isn't that a sad thing? They get in the darkness and they're sinned against by other people and they're mistreated by other people and they never want to get over that. They just want to stay in the dark and just kind of pity themselves that they're in the dark for the rest of life. And I want you to know, Joseph is an example. That's not the way to live the Christian life. The Bible says that these same brothers who sinned against him, now he's taking them in his arms and he's kissing their necks and he's weeping over them. Listen, Joseph forgave them completely. He forgave them. And part of understanding what God's doing in the dark is understanding that no matter what happens, no matter what God allows to happen, we have to continually live with an attitude of forgiveness. Forgiving others. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We didn't deserve to be forgiven, but Christ forgave us. Others don't deserve to be forgiven. No, but we forgive them as Christ has forgiven us. Then I want you to notice the last thing about his life. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50, if you turn there again. I want you to notice that Joseph was sent by God. He said, I look out across life and understand this, that God was doing something. I didn't like the darkness necessarily. I didn't enjoy it physically, but I understand now as I look back that God was working in all this. God was doing something. In fact, he told those brothers back when he first revealed himself to them, he said, but as for you, neither be ye therefore not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He had already told them that. And after his father Jacob died, he met with these brothers again, and he said in verse 20 of Genesis chapter 50, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He said, I understand something. It wasn't those brothers that sent me to Egypt. I understand something. It was God that sent me. You see, we understand as we learn of the treasures of darkness in the Bible, we understand that we don't look at these first causes of things that happen in our life. We remove all these secondary causes. We remove all these secondary things that are just human things, and we understand God is really the cause of all this. God is the one who's been moving. God is the one who's been working. Joseph said, I'm sent by God. You know what he said here in verse 24? The Bible says finally here, Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac. And then he mentioned his daddy's name and to Jacob. See, Joseph said this, I'm about to die, and I look back across life, and I tell you this, God meant it unto good. He said, and I look ahead to the future. I'm going on to glory. But I want you to know something. God will surely do what he's promised he will do. Now, how can somebody have that much faith? How can somebody speak with that kind of confidence? Here's how. Because he went through times of darkness, and he came to know God and to trust God in those times of darkness. You see, he found the treasures in the darkness. He came to know his God, and he came to trust him in a much greater way. And by the way, his faith encouraged their faith, and his faith encourages my faith. And as you learn to trust God through those times of darkness, your faith encourages other people's faith. That's how it works. And we find these things in summary in such a beautiful way here in the life of Joseph. Let's ask God to bless it as we teach it this week.